Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Fourth and final hour, Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Nashville Sports Bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. Today we have the Jeff Fisher region, who we spoke to in the first hour of the program. We went down memory lane with Coach Fisher. Tim Corbin region also unveiled, and you've got about 8 hours to vote. And we're going to whittle this thing down to 16 before it's all said and done. Tomorrow will be Phil Bredesen region and the David Poyle region, but today it's Jeff Fisher region, Tim Corbin region, and we are asking you to vote. I got to be honest, the voting numbers are a little down compared to last week. We had a great turnout. We need you to get to the polls. We need you to vote on this. We had a lot of close finishes. Chase, right now, do you have the current results?
I do.
What do we got?
All right. So the one seed and the nine seed, Steve McNair, the GOAT, the number one overall seed, currently leading the boy, Taylor Lewan, by a lot. Dad needs to do some work on social media. 92% to 8%, Steve McNair versus Taylor Lewan. Now, this matchup has been kind of close, but interesting. Javon Kearse, the five seed, 61% of the vote over P.K. Subban, the four seed, 39%. I thought that might be a little bit closer, and I kind of thought it was going to go another way than it's going right now. Keith Bullock, the 3 seed, 91%. 11-seeded Derek Barnett only getting 9% of the vote. The 2 seed Roman Josi, 87% over the 10 seed Ryan Tannehill with 13. Now, this one is a little bit close. David Price, the 1 seed with 66%. The 9 seed Paul Correa only has 34%. And Frank Wycheck, the 4 seed, leads the 5 seed Brant Snedeker, 67-33. Chris Johnson, the 3, 81%. 11 seed Jordan Matthews, 19%. And this one, the one that I think we're all intrigued by, the 2 seed Shea Weber, 63%. The 7 seed Kevin Byard with 37%.
Not really very many close calls right now.
Not at the moment.
Not even the chalk, just a lot of runaways right now. Although, when you look at it, it is the chalk that is taking care of business right now. Wow. So, we'll see. Keep those votes coming in. Have about a little bit less than 8 hours. You can go to thegamenashville.com or at 1025thegame on Twitter. Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy, is on the line with us. Hal, how you doing?
Good, guys. Just trying to get grass to grow outside. School's over for today, so I'm enjoying the nice weather.
Do you have a green thumb?
I have a green thumb, but like a lot of weeds grow on green. And I'm not supposed to grow weeds.
I figured it was a lot of hops or barley, you know, or things like that.
I am growing those, actually. I just started that. That's part of my apocalypse thing. If no one's going to make beer for me, I got to be prepared.
I
started growing those seeds.
I like that a lot. In fact, if you could also start up a barrel of bourbon, I'd be more than happy to be a taster.
I'll diversify. I'll make sure I'm ready for all angles. I don't want to go into the winter without a nice bourbon. You know, that would be horrifying.
That would be horrifying. Have you participated in our brain teaser today to make sure our brains don't go to mush during quarantine time?
I did. Do you want me to tell you the answer? Or are you guys still getting it wrong?
We have not unveiled the answer. So you feel like you have nailed it?
Yeah. Okay. I think I got it. I think Willie sent over the good news that I was correct.
Okay. All right. See, Willie, I don't remember you. The reason we probably didn't, we were getting ready to get to your answer, Hal, but we got sidetracked because there was a little mini battle with Nash and Chris Mason. I think Nash was kind of accusing C. Mace of stealing his work.
Yeah, you know what? You know what the problem is? Is Willie, you know, likes to send out to the broadcast crew. He sends out these little brain teasers, like all those little things, and someone automatically replies with the answer. So I try to get the answer the quickest, and so I don't really even look at the thing. I just like write down, and you know, and then I'm like, oh wait, and then I change my answer, then I look at it again, and I, you know, it takes about 7 takes. Meanwhile, everyone else is doing the same thing, and so it becomes a debacle. But eventually, I think we all got the right answer.
That's excellent. So do you buy, obviously there's a lot of discussions going on of what's the right way to try to make this work moving forward, as we're all uncertain and nobody has the answers. Do you buy, and how serious do you think it could be to pull off of possibly, you know, something in the Dakotas, something in New Hampshire, something maybe in Canada? They're throwing out a lot of more isolated spots to actually kind of create this little, you know, smaller version of an Olympic Village and actually have the athletes and the coaches and staff, you know, do things that away. Do you buy that there's, you know, that you could actually pull that off?
Darren, I'll buy whatever they're selling.
Yeah.
if they've got the teams going to Alaska and quarantining up there and playing hockey, let's do it. I'm all for any way that you can make this work. I'm all in. I do think that, you know, we're not going to have fans. It doesn't look like we're going to have fans. So I just think it would be so huge for everyone, for the sport, for the fans, everyone, and for the players, for, you know, selfishly for me, to have hockey, to make it work, however you can make it work. And that, if that means quarantining and playing in front of no one, but having two teams that go out and battle and finding a way to test to make sure that guys are healthy, then I'm all for it. Obviously, it's safety first, and you got to go through the right channels and make it all work. But I would love to see that. I think people at home, could you imagine if you had got to watch like a March Madness setup where there were two games a day, you know, one in the morning, one in the afternoon at the same rink and wherever is North Dakota, then go for it. I just think that would be outstanding. I think if you could make that work, you have to try. And I think that would be awesome. Imagine sitting at home and watching that. If you gave me a day like today where I could sit down and watch hockey, it would be the best.
Well, what if, Hal, it was like the NCAA tournament, you know, where you just – or like Christmas, like the NBA, what they've done on Christmas Day, where you just start at 11 in the morning and you go all the way through the night to 11 o'clock at night. You could just have one game after another. You just stagger them, and where you could just – anytime you turn on the television, you could watch a game. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that would be amazing. And if you have – I mean, you'd have to have two different spots, right? I'm assuming east and west, and then you play in for a final spot. But I think that would be, and any way you can do it, if it's only a 5-game series or whatever, I think if you get down to a 3-game series, it becomes, you know, I mean, it's going to have a black eye on it anyway. It's not going to be sanctioned. There's going to be an asterisk all over whoever the champion is, but I think if you keep it to a 5-game series, I think it could be a lot of fun, and I would love that. I mean, I'd like nothing better than, you know, crack open a beer at 11 in the morning and watch hockey until, you know, midnight. That would make me the happiest guy on the planet.
We're talking to Hal Gill, of course, radio analyst here on 102.5 The Game, Predators Radio Network. And Hal, what are the things that you think about? You know, we're all dreaming right now, right? We're hoping that this could happen in some form. And let's say it's, you know, let's say it's June 1st or in a best case scenario or something like that, whatever the date would be. What would be the things that you would be thinking about if you're playing to get yourself back in shape? How much time would you need to be able to skate somewhere, you know, get with your teammates? What would be the things that you would advise in terms of a timetable to get people ramped up to play these games that are going to be really important games, right? We know that the season's going to pick up at a critical point.
Yeah, it's not like you get you know, a couple exhibition games to get your feet under you. You're going at it, and it's going to be quick. It was funny because I did a podcast with TJ Oshie, and we were talking. He said 2 weeks would be where he would feel completely comfortable, but he said if you put a gun to his head and said you got to play hockey in a week, give him a week of skates and he'd be ready to go. And I'm going to stick to that. I think that's pretty accurate. You know, obviously the more you can go, the better, but I think after a week, guys can be ready. Now, my thought is that assuming everyone is quarantined, you know, you don't have many people at the rink. You can bring the guys in, and it's just the guys, and if they're quarantining and then coming to the rink and getting practice sessions, even if it's, you know, the whole thing is you have to be smart. You can't touch each other. You can't go through everything. But if you could get these guys on the ice and give them a chance to get in shape, then I think, you know, that could work. I think you give them a week's notice and they'd be ready to roll. But, you know, I think the NHLPA has got to sit down and go through a lot of those scenarios to make sure that the players are protected and they're comfortable with that, because that was TJ Oshie's opinion. That was my opinion. But there's 700 players that got to sit down and talk about it.
And then something you just mentioned, too, that I know will have to be discussed very heavily with all the health experts, and none of us on this conversation are. But I would certainly think that the locker room itself, all of us having been in a locker room at some form, that there would have to be a pretty strict, changing of habits, right, for a lot of the players to be able to try to take every precaution with that. That would have to go with the territory.
Yeah, and that's everyone knows locker rooms are, you know, we've seen the flu, it gets you home pretty quick. It's a tough spot, but, you know, that's why I say, you know, if you're small about what you're doing, and, you know, in the end, these guys have to go straight home, not touch anyone else, and all it takes is, you know, you go to the gas station and you're not paying attention, and you do something and you touch something and then all of a sudden it rips through. You just can't take that chance. And so it's going to be long and hard for these guys to try to figure out a way to make it work. But a straight quarantine where you're locked in a hotel or whatever, a dorm or wherever you put these guys, I think it might be worth trying to try and figure it out. And like you said, talk to health experts and make sure that they're on board with it. Because I know these guys, you're in the playoffs, you're locked in your room anyway. You're not doing much. You know, it's kind of it can be a lonely time where you're not seeing many people, but you're seeing your teammates. And that's really what they're doing anyway. So might as well try to make it work if you can.
All right, Hal, on a lighter side here, your favorite show that you've seen in this period of time that we've been sort of sitting around with everybody else and with time on our hands, what's the best show that you've seen?
Ozark, by far. Ozark is season 3 is lights out. I did watch Tiger King and it was entertaining, but and I just think Ozark is top notch. If you haven't seen it, it's a must. It's an absolute must.
That was my viewing pleasure this weekend, Hal. And you are. I'm in season 1. I'm only through 5 episodes, and I literally have no clue. I'm like, they're in season 3. Like, where is this going? My mind is blown. I think it's fantastic. Is Jason Bateman one of the best actors going?
How is he? You know, like it was funny. We watched Horrible Bosses, or what is that? What it is?
He's
yes, fantastic in that too. He's
fantastic.
Arrested Development. The guy's amazing. Yeah, he is fantastic in that. But that's Ozark is. It just keeps going, and I'll tell you, at the end of season 3, my mind was blown. I was like, whoa, and I need it to happen again. I need another season now.
Wow. So you've completed it.
Hang in there. You're in for a ride.
Oh, man, I am even more pumped. I was already pumped. Now I'm even more pumped. Wow. That's awesome.
What do you got for me now? What am I watching now? What am I moving on to?
That is a great question. Yeah, what is next? What is anybody giving you any good suggestions? Because you know where I'm at right now, Willie. You're still in season three, Willie, right? You haven't finished Ozark?
I've been in documentary mode.
No, I'm at the beginning of season three. I've been trying to ration this so I don't blow through it because I don't have the next show on the On Deck Circle. I'm with you, Skillsy. We got to look for this. We got to find something.
Hal,
did Chase just throw in, like, I'm in documentaries and, like, try to wow us? Like, are you reading books, Chase? Is that what you're going to try and tell us now?
No, I'm not reading books. I've been watching
documentaries. I'm not going to waste my time just watching nonsense. I'm going to try and better myself. Did you just throw that at us?
He got a robe and a pipe for Christmas, and he wants to, you know, implement them in his house.
Yeah.
So he's got a robe and a pipe now.
He's learning how to play a new instrument and challenging himself and becoming a better person while we're talking about nonsense. Is that what you're trying to throw at us?
I'm trying to get on your level and just be a little more sophisticated. That's just me.
Well, you're going the wrong way, bud.
Well, and that leads me because I saw your video. I saw your video you did last week, and I was very proud of you because you stone cold the hell out of those Bud Lights. I mean, they had the music. It was fantastic.
There's only two takes, too, you know, so that was good. I was just going to do one take, and it was good enough, but I figured if I'm going to be stone cold, he goes to all four corners, right? I'm not quite there yet, but I'll work up to it.
So, and that leads me into my question, because you've always been creative on social media. You and Chris Mason do, you know, different videos and the bag chucker stuff. Has this downtime allowed you to kind of tap into that even more to try and stay connected with the people but be creative?
It's all we got. Yeah, so we got to try and do something to keep ourselves amused. I appreciate you putting me in the Chris Mason category because he is unreal. It blows my mind, and like every day I'm like, all right, I got to try and think of something creative. And next thing you know, Chris Mason's dressed up like Spider-Man and you know, climbing a
and
tree
falling, and coming out of a tree.
Like, yeah, it's like, come on, man. You know, like I'm trying to be a good father, and then I look at that and I'm like, ah, what a failure. You know, I'm having a couple beers for lunch and taking a nap, and the kids want to go play. And I'm like, well, I'm taking a nap here, you know? Like, what do you want from me? I got to watch.
Mr. Gill.
And then I go on and look at Mace. No, it's fun trying to come up with new ideas. And, you know, with the Preds, we're trying to keep people, you know, the whole broadcast crew, Willie throwing out his questions and trying to stay active and, have some fun with our fans because I feel for the fans. You know, it's just like when you've given all you've got and all you'd want to do is watch hockey or season ticket holder and it's taken away from you. Least we can do is give them something good on Twitter or Instagram.
I've added your margarita recipe. I'm going to try it here pretty soon because I thought that was interesting how you made it.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's really tequila and lime. You know, you just got to take the Cointreau and just touch it up, or a triple sec, just touch it up. You don't need much. It's and it gets the job done quick, Chase. You'll find yourself, you'll stagger yourself pretty quick. So for a guy like you, you might want to water it down a little bit, or a little spritzer, you know, just a little bit. But, that's been my go-to. I've actually hit that a couple times.
How were you surprised as a longtime former player that we played the teleconference, or actually the Zoom, I guess, conference with Roman Josi and Alex Petrangelo and Jonathan Toews, and they actually answered the question about who would you want to be quarantined with and who would you not when it comes to your teammates? I applauded them for actually answering it because that could be dangerous, but they did, and it created some comedic relief. How would you have answered that?
You know what? Someone asked me and it's pretty spot on. Someone was asking me who I was on a radio in Winnipeg, and they went through every one of my teams and said, all right, if you were quarantined, who would you be with? And I started going through the list, and then right after the question came up, like, who would want to be quarantined with me? And that's really the question. Like, I think I would be a lot. I think I don't think there's many guys that would want to be quarantined. A guy like Chase, he might think he'd want to hang out with me and do that. And then I think two or three days in, he'd be like, jumping out the window. I could be a lot. Willie knows that. Willie's on the road with me on a day-to-day basis. And so the real question is, would Willie want to be quarantined with me? And could he handle that?
Quarantine with you, Skillsy. I think we could be a great odd couple. We would be just like the, just like the TV show.
It'd be something like, I don't know if my liver could handle it. If I'm just being honest.
I just think that's the question you have to ask yourself. And it kind of gave me a second to pause and go, wow, I wonder who would want to hang out. We just talked about Mason, how great he is and how fun he'd be, but I think I'd be a lot. So I feel bad for that.
Who would have the better chance of rubbing off on the other? Like, because, if you and Willie quarantine together, you got straight guy and crazy guy. And I know that sounds weird, but just go with me here. Better chance of you getting Willie to have a wild hair in him, or you Willie converting you to maybe a little nerdish like Mr. Gill?
Well, that's the thing, is I see Road Willie. I don't hang out with Willie at home. He's a great father and a great husband. I get Road Willie. So when we head out, he's not the straight-laced guy that at home. He's got a little wild side.
Oh, let me tell
wild
you.
Wild Willie, Wild Bill. Wild Bill.
Skillsy, I was going to say, when David Poyle came in, and this was off the air, and said what he said to me and Chase in front of Willie about Road Willie, that's when I knew it was serious. Like that was about his birthday on the road. Like that was gold from the general manager. I mean, we were absolutely crying, and Willie was mortified. He didn't even know what to say. He just sat there in disbelief, and David was going, where were you? We were concerned. You kind of disappeared for a while.
I'm just gonna plead down a little bit and say that the city of Vancouver was involved, so I'm placing part of the blame on Vancouver.
Blame Canada.
Yeah, great, Willie. Yeah, blame Canada.
You know, it's funny you say that. I don't remember that.
Of course you don't.
If that tells you anything.
Yeah. Thanks for dropping the mic on the way out. Thank you, Mr. Gill. We appreciate the visit. And we'll you be safe. You and the family be safe. We'll keep watching.
All right. You too. And thanks for keep us entertained, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That is Al Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. And he's always good for a laugh. No doubt about it. We will come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good stuff from Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. I think he answered the question without answering it. He said that basically he's already converted Willie. And so if they were quarantined together, Willie would become Wild Willie. I think that's what we got out of that, because he's already seen Wild Willie.
Wild Bill.
Wild Bill, depending on who you talk to. Chris Mason would call him Wild Bill. So we've already heard that there's some nicknames on the road, and it's because we've seen that there's been a conversion.
I've seen a little bit of Road Willie before.
Well, I have too.
You have too. He can hang. He hangs with the big boys.
Well, I didn't say he couldn't hang. I just, overall, that's when you think of Willie. You don't think of the wild side. You don't think of Motley Crue.
No. You don't.
Well, I think we should also emphasize that Skillsy has a sensitive side. He's not always the wild man. He's got balance to his life.
Does he? What have you seen on the sensitive side from Hal?
State some
examples.
I would love to know this.
I do think that Hal is a very good philosopher of life. You know, you can be on the road with Hal. You get some stimulating conversations that can go on for sure. So I think in a quarantine with Hal situation, I think you would have some depth. You know, it wouldn't just be all
right. But
you know, where are we going for our next beer? You know, there would be a lot of value that would come with that next beer.
Right, but you didn't really answer the question. I mean, really, you just kind of. It's like, they're just telling you there's another side. It was almost like your answer was like, you just have to trust me on that.
Look, if you peel back the, you peel back some of the layers, you get that. I mean,
That's what I'm saying.
He's given me some good advice before. Now you have to sift through some of the low blows and insults. But once you get past that, I think there's some meat there.
Yeah, so I think wisdom is what he has to share. Road Hal.
Yeah. All right. I like that. That's why he's Mr. Gill on Twitter, right? He's got
I love Mr. Gill.
He's got wisdom to release to everybody. He wants to show the wisdom side, the other side, as you are alluding to, Willie.
It is funny how a lot of dads and I don't know what your situation is, Darren. You know, you have a young son, but I've seen a lot of people weigh in that depending on the age of their kids and the situation with their school, they're doing some quote-unquote homeschooling in some form. And depending on the age of their child, sometimes the lesson plan, it's not quite as easy for the parent as you might think to pass that along. There are some things that you know, you would enjoy doing if you're Mr. Gill or whoever the teacher is you're trying to help out. I'm just glad that my kid's school, I'm not asked to do that because I have tried to help sometimes with some math lessons, and I'm starting to – it feels like some of the things that you've been throwing out, these brain teasers, Darren, I think I might know, but I need a little refresher course myself.
Yeah.
So I certainly couldn't teach it.
I'm with you on that. There's no doubt. If he's choosing, he's going to mom first. That is just reality. And I don't blame him. It's the right choice. When it comes to Maddox, I think what is interesting to kind of tie this into a lot of the conversation we've had today, I think the schools were not prepared for this. And so I think this is going to be a little bit more off the rails, if that's the proper analogy for the rest of the school season. But I do think moving forward, it will become a little, when they move however they choose to do this. I would assume you're going to just everybody's – it's not like everybody's going to get held back. I would assume everybody's going to advance to the next level, that in the fall there will be – summer and fall, there will be a little bit different approach. I do think there will be more, at-home stuff, right? Don't you think there's going to be a little bit different approach? I think they're currently trying to figure a lot of this stuff out. Like I said, I don't think were exactly prepared for this.
Well, no, you couldn't have been. You couldn't have been. And of course, every school is different, right? Every school's resources are different. Every school has different challenges. But I think we're all just trying to, maybe week two or week three of this is better than week one, right, of whatever communication you're having with the kids at home. Right, and you just try to salvage what you can, try to make the most of it, try to get creative as best you can to try to move forward in the right direction. It's all you can do.
Yep, that's right. So you guys, I don't think Chase, you weighed in on the crowds, and that's what I want to know from you guys, because when we come back, we will hear a little bit from Predators head coach John Hines. He did do a conference call today, or I don't know if it's a Zoom call. That's kind of what we're doing these days. But what do you think if let's say everything was all clear, we are in that patch of all clear, and you have the choice, and let's just say you've been a fan that goes to games, you've been a season ticket holder to whatever sport, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Will fans what? Does the mentality change or not change? And what do you think the percentages are? Do you believe that there would be a sellout at an Alabama football game? Do you think there would be a 98,000 or 100,000, whatever that place holds, 100,000 people there in the stands? Or do you think some people, even as diehard as they were, would say, look, love my Alabama football, been going forever. But during these times, I'm not going. What do you think the percentages are of the conversion rate, I guess, switching over to the other side?
I think people are going to be a little bit timid at first. Now, you're going to have some that are going to go, I am ready to get out of the house. I'm ready to go see my team play. You know, here we go. I'm going no matter what. But I do think you're going to have some that are going to go, you know, I'm going to see how this plays out for a couple of weeks. I'm going to sit on the couch and watch Alabama or watch Tennessee or Vandy or whatever. And I'm just going to see how it plays out and then dip my toe back in the water. I think it's going to be a kind of a stair-step thing. Now, if they come out, when you say all clear, if they come out and they say all clear plus vaccine, that's a game changer. Then I think people get back to normal. And
yeah, I don't want to throw that in because that obviously changes the answer. I'm talking about for the foreseeable future. There's no vaccine in the equation.
As long as health officials are still saying, you know, or they're saying, yes, we're all clear, but we have to be cautious that this could come back, then I think you're going to have people being a little bit timid about it, and they should. I mean, quite frankly, they should. I mean, I think that you have to have the mindset of, okay, just because we flattened the curve or it's gone away for a while, you know, we can't just all rush back to how we used to be and normal, and, you know, all of a sudden the stores are picking up the 6-foot tape and they're, you know, getting rid of the sneeze guards. I mean, this thing could come back if there isn't a vaccine anytime soon. So I do believe that you have to think about it that way. And so I speak for myself. I mean, obviously it's different because of what we do, that, you know, if all of a sudden they're playing playoff games at Bridgestone Arena, good chance I'm going to be there because it's a part of my job. But I do think I would be a little bit timid and be a little more cautious and think about things that I haven't thought about before when going to a game.
Do you think we would force people to wear masks if they were going to attend an event?
That's an interesting question. I think it all comes back to one of the first points that Chase made, and that is, what are the health experts saying? Because let's just talk about what we've learned in this, you know, roughly a month that we've been going through this now. And I go back to Dr. Cobb. We had him on the very first day we were on the air together when I came back from Toronto with the Predators. His message, and just about every single health expert has been on the same page. Their message has been very, very clear, right? At least about the fundamental things about this. And it's, you know, I think if they are on the same page, if you know, when we get to this point, and let's as I say this, this could be in 4 months, it could be in 6 months, it could be in 12 months, right? But whenever that day is, that they are on the same page and believe that they have the all clear, then I have confidence in them, right? I believe in the experts that have spent their whole careers learning about these things, right? Learning about this particular virus. And I do think we're going to learn a lot more about this particular virus from those people in the coming months, right? So I think when they give the okay, I'm going to tend to want to, you know, go with it and say, okay, they say it's all right, I'm ready to go. If they say it's not all right, then I'm on the sideline.
Well, I'm saying, I guess the best way to phrase it is, it's okay with a caveat. Like, you have to wear a mask. You have to stand in
then
line.
I think we
got
to respect that. I think we
got to
respect that. If they say I have to wear a mask, then I'm in. Okay. I'm wearing a mask. Let's do it.
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering, how does that affect, you know, people will still, it will change, you know, people will still have maybe a differing opinion no matter what. Like, there just may be some people that are all in and sports and the sports scene and attendance, but we'll say there, I'm sure there's going to be a lot there to say, look, I'm, as much as I love it and I want it and I'm so glad it's back, I'm just going to sit and watch it at home until it truly is safe. You know what I mean? There's just going to be people that are going to do that, and that's okay. And I just wonder, though, what is that number? You know, how many people take that approach? Or are people just so excited, they're like, don't care. I got to get back. I've got to go. And I don't care, you know, that I have to wear a mask. I don't care about anything. I'm going to make this work. I'll be safe
I'll make
it work.
My gut feeling quickly, but I know we got to take a break, is I think from that standpoint, I think more people will be okay. What I think will be a factor as well is how many people financially will be back on their footing to be able to have the disposable income to go if they want
to go. That's a very good
point. I think
that'll
be a factor.
Yeah,
as well.
there's another can. All right, good
that's
stuff.
A whole
we'll come
can
back.
Of worms.
Yep. We'll come back with Predators head coach John Hines. His Zoom call just a little bit ago. We'll hear some of that on the other side to close up shop here on this Monday. But right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. That's a long time, and that's a lot of satisfied customers. They have more than 18,000 satisfied residential customers. And if you've been out in the yard doing projects and you've noticed you've got some bricks that are cracking or maybe walls that are bowing, you've been opening the door a lot or windows a lot, and you notice that they've been sticking or drywall separating. Maybe you've noticed the chimney is tilting or leaning. Something's off there. These are all signs. There's a long list of things that could be a sign that your house is telling you, hey, you need to address this. You need to have somebody look at it. You need to get an expert out here because typically these are not projects we're going to take on as homeowners. We may paint. We may do other things. We may fix the sink. But these things, you might want to get the experts, and the experts are USS, out to your house because they believe in their quality of work, their reputation, and the integrity of their work. They're going to come out and give you a free estimate. They're locally owned, and they're licensed and insured. As a homeowner, these are things that should have you perk up. To get them out to your house, call this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or you can always go to their website, USSTN.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS. Predators head coach John Hines on a Zoom call today with the media about 45 minutes ago. When asked about possibly when this would all resume in the NHL, here's what he had to say.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's really unknown. And obviously, like everybody, I've been in contact with David, who's been in contact with the league, and you kind of see what's going on the internet of as far as possible scenarios. But I think the thing that's most important is the league will make the right decision as far as what's the most equitable, fair, and what makes the most sense for the league. And I'm not sure what that is. I just know that for the Nashville Predators that if it does come back, we're going to play some high stakes hockey, whether that's finish some games in the regular season to get into the playoffs. If it starts now and you go with teams on standings and points percentage, we'd be in the playoffs. So I think the most important thing for us as coaches and obviously our players too, is just understanding that, well, whatever the league decides is going to be the right thing and the right way to go about it. We just need to make sure that we're prepared to get back. And if it does get back, to be able to play some high stakes hockey. And I think that's exciting.
During the downtime, how often have you been in contact with players and coaches? You mentioned some webinars and meetings with David, but how are you preparing for when hockey comes back with these individuals? And then any quarantine stories or virtual meetings or coaching from afar with players?
Yeah, I'll take it from the start. So we've had management and coaches calls basically once a week or once every 2 weeks. I've been in contact with David basically every day through the phone. So we have some WebEx meetings or Zoom meetings like this with our coaching staff and with the management group. We've also had one with our Milwaukee coaching staff, the Nashville coaching staff, and the management group. And we've also had hockey ops meetings. So we've been pretty active. David and I speak basically every day. We have basically two calls a week with our coaching staff on a WebEx where we've really dissected our team, discussed our players, have different projects of things that we felt we were strong in, some areas that we want to see better. We've talked about the possibility of what our training camp would look like when we do come back. For probably a shortened training camp if the season were to resume. And then we've divided up our coaching staff. Basically each coach has five players and we've rotated. One coach will call those five players 1 week and then we just rotate the coach, which will call those five players. So we've tried to give the players some space, but we've also want to keep in communication with them and we're trying to rotate around that with all the assistant coaches. So it's not just myself. It's basically the whole staff. So we've been able to, today we're looking to try to have a big call with all of our players and all of our staff, just to touch base, this evening. So we're trying to do a good job of staying in touch with everybody, keeping everyone up to date on what's going on, but also, even though we're not in the office and working, we are spending a lot of time communicating together and making sure that we're prepared.
Good deal. Another question that came from multiple people. In reviewing your team's play during the downtime, what's your assessment of how things were trending before the pause? And how do you feel about the overall situation with this team?
Yeah, well, I think we were really we were going in the right direction, right before the pause. And I think, one of the biggest things, it was always going to be fairly difficult, I think, to get tactically exactly where you want to be when you come in midseason. But I think a couple things that helped us get in the right direction, get on a winning record, put ourselves in position to be in the playoffs, was I think our mental toughness, our team camaraderie, our team togetherness was better, and it grew over the course of time together, whether it was handling adverse situations, whether it was a real strong belief that, believe in what we're doing, and that we do have a good team and a good group of players, but we've got to be more focused, more consistent. I think we're able to do that as a group, and that led to us being able to find ways to win more games. Obviously, our goaltending had played well, and Juice was playing well. I thought both goaltenders, Pex, was there for us, even from when I took over through the end. I think our goaltending was a strong point. The special teams were starting at the end there to really, I think, reestablish an identity and make differences in games. I think we won the special teams battle the last three games that we played, both power play and penalty kill, and those were things that we made some adjustments tactically and sometimes some personnel situations, but I thought the players did a good job of adjusting. And I really liked the direction that the team was going. You could see that the guys were, they were in together. They were playing for each other. I think we were starting to get some performances and some consistent performances throughout our lineup, which were really important. And, unfortunately, I think the way we were trending and the way we were playing, and I think the real things inside the locker room, the team, the players, there was a really strong cohesion starting to build and belief. And, that's unfortunately, we weren't able to finish it off yet. So, we need to make sure we stay connected and stay prepared. And when we do get back, that we're ready to play the game the right way and give ourselves the best chance to win.
There you go. Some of Predators head coach John Hines today on his Zoom call with the media. So wanted to let you hear a little bit of that. There are some things to pass along before we get out of here. It looks like the NFL has put out that they are going to do everything. Obviously, nothing is going to take place in Vegas. We knew that the public was not going to be, but it's just going to be a virtual draft. Everyone at their home, no facilities open. And so I think what's interesting about that is not really that surprised, but how is this going to be aired? How are we going to watch this? That's what I want to know.
Well, I believe, the networks, ESPN and NFL Network, I mean, they're still going to do their coverage like we're used to. Obviously, it's not going to be normal. It's going to be different. But they're going to, I would assume, have Zoom feeds or FaceTime or what have you. And that's how they're going to do this.
I would think that it's not that far removed. It'll be a lot of coordination with the players, the coaches, the GMs, et cetera. But they're doing most of their shows now this way, even like, for example, Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert, they're in their houses, right? So ESPN will have their hosts, I'm sure, on, on a three box or a two box, two people talking from different places, and then they'll bring in the other people. It'll be a challenge, but, we'll be watching. I think that's for sure.
No doubt about it, but that'll be interesting. That'll be something we've never seen before, and then we'll find out. Do the rest of the leagues follow? Is that what we will see with the NHL draft? Is that what we will see with the NBA draft? Is that what we will see with the Major League Baseball draft? So it'll be interesting to see indeed how they do that. Okay, before we get out of here, guys, we must unveil our brain teaser for the day. We have, you know, as we close up shop, the correct answer. By the way, I had almost 200 people weigh in on my side of things. I don't know what your count was. We had a lot of activity. And the final answer was 36. That's what we were looking for. 36. If you participated in our 36. Brain teaser, the chickens were worth 20. The eggs, as you can see, were worth what they were. So in the second line, they're worth one each. So that's how you just count up the eggs. So there were actually four. That's the difference. You had to look at the fourth line, and the bananas were the same way. It was they were plus ones, and if you did that, there were four bananas and four eggs on the fourth line. The chicken remained the same at a point value of 20. If you times the eggs times the banana, so 4 times 4 is 16. Remember, order, right? We talked about the order. That is key. That's what you must know to do this, because that the order of operations is important. And so you must multiply first, then add that number. And that's how you get to 36. 4 times 4 is 16, plus the 20 is the 36. And there you go. Guys, that's going to do it for our show today. Fun show here on this Monday. Have a safe and good rest of your Monday. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.